You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic, holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
5 years ago, I sustained the most severe injury I have ever experienced in my life. I know many of you listening can relate to a similar set of circumstances, you know, one that creates a pivotal point in your life that takes you toward a different health path. Now, I stood up straight from a squatting position up into an open refrigerator door, and basically my head and neck crunched like an accordion. And then I knew right in that moment of impact that something was desperate, that was wrong with my brain. I have injured it severely and my neck. I had all sorts of swelling, and I'm sure a concussion, of course. And what it did was it actually damaged my pituitary gland and caused a cascade of severe hormonal symptoms a few weeks from there. And the thing that really I noticed the most that was apparent constantly was that I had terrible anxiety, you know, anxiety about everything. And I was constantly on edge. I couldn't sleep well. And I was definitely an insomniac, and I really started to gain weight and feel sluggish and even depressed. So today on Wellness for Life, I'm excited to introduce to you our next guest here that we're going to learn more about brain trauma from Dr. Sanam Hafiz. She's a New York City-based neuropsychologist and the founder and clinical director of Comprehensive Consultation Psychological Services. She's also a teaching faculty member at Columbia University. Welcome, Dr. Hafiz.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So let's talk about brain trauma. Are you a medical doctor or psychologist?
I'm a psychologist, but I specialize in neuropsychology. So what sets me apart is that, yeah. So what sets me apart is that I do assessments in neuropsychology where I assess brain functioning and help people navigate through life and what they're capable of doing, let's say after brain injury or a trauma of some sort.
Right. I mean, the thing about brain trauma, when I had that experience, I knew because I worked with people with brain injuries, but I didn't realize exactly all the different manifestations, how much it impacted my emotional health, my energetic, you know, body, my mental, psychological, so many levels. So tell us what you know about brain trauma.
So brain injury, you know, I mean, it's so vast. I mean, the concept of brain injury is so vast. Obviously, you know, something really traumatic like a gunshot wound or an open brain injury that requires surgery is the kind that, you know, most people think about when they think brain injury or someone who falls on concrete, splits their head open. But there are other types of brain injury, like the common day-to-day stuff that you're just talking about. You know, many of us have, like, stood up and hit something and gone, oh my God, what's my name? What's my social security number? You know, you suddenly try to remember everything because you worry, have I hit myself too hard or something just doesn't seem right? And so very often in the day-to-day world, things aren't as obvious as they would be in, let's say, a hospital or a clinical setting. So you don't realize some of the repercussions from a brain injury till it's much later on. And so there are milder brain injuries where you may or may not have had a loss of consciousness, and there are those where you've had a loss of consciousness that may require medical intervention. You know, back in the day, and obviously I'm sure you're well aware of this, before diuretics and, you know, the kind of medical technology that we have now where we can reduce swelling in the brain by just draining fluid, people died from brain injury. We've reduced that significantly, but even now, how quickly you can get to medical care can very much sort of set the course for not only survival, but how well you recover from brain injury. Brain injury, you know, it can really, there's so many causes, car accidents being one of the top three, falling, you know, the day-to-day accidents that you're talking about, and then again, you know, gunshot wounds and things of that nature.
Right. I mean, my injury that I had, I could tell right away because I had neurological symptoms, neurological tingling and nerve pain going down both arms and leg, and it was quite severe. And people deal with this all the time. You know, you're in a sports For instance, like when you're stand up paddle, not saying, excuse me, when you are, let's say, skiing and you fall and you have this. So it's a lot of kids get this. A lot of kids have this brain injury, but they don't think of it. Well, you do assessments. So your assessments are more cognitive assessments. Is that right?
They're both there. I do the full, I run the full gamut. I'll do cognitive and I do a neurological, you know, a quick neurological screening and then a neuropsychological screening depending on the extent of the injury. So when, you know, let's say a parent or, you know, a young adult will come to me because they played football or they had an injury on the field and they'll say, you know, I didn't realize that he got hurt, but then he's been complaining about noise and, you know, he's been having headaches. And so they didn't see anything, but this child or this young man might have had a concussion. That's still brain injury. You know, it may not have been severe. So in some cases, let's say, unlike your case where you had tingling, some people may not realize the brain injury because it may persist somewhat internally and not display signs till much later on. Or people tend to ignore signs. Not everyone, you know, you had something where you said you literally got crushed like an accordion. Some people may not have such a physical impact, and they don't realize that something really got knocked about inside their head. I mean, the brain is such a complex, potent little organ in this very small, you know, cavity. And so sometimes a very hard shake may do nothing and a very small shake can actually shake it up. So it really pays off to pay attention to your day-to-day functioning. Very similar to you, I have a dear friend who was just painting his deck, slipped on some of the stain oil and fell on his head. He didn't think anything of it. And, you know, being a stubborn man, refused to go to the hospital. And his wife, who's also a friend of mine, kept insisting, and he's a pilot. And so they flew for weeks after that. And she kept seeing personality changes in him. And she kept saying, you really need to go see someone. And he kept saying no. So she didn't let up. And so he finally went to the doctor, and they wouldn't let him drive home. They said, we need to admit you because you've got a blood clot the size of my palm in your hand. I mean, in your brain. So, and you know, the ironic thing was they wouldn't let him drive back. He had been flying the night before. He's a pilot. I mean, he owns a plane.
Wow.
So sometimes, you know, had she not done that, we don't know what that kind of brain bleed might have led to. And he was ignoring some of these symptoms only because he's such a bright man and his cognitive reserve was so high that he kept compensating. And other people maybe couldn't see it, but someone who obviously lived with him and knew his, you know, ins and outs could see that there were changes in him. So brain injury is a very insidious sort of, you know, illness or disease because A, there's no cure, and B, the effects of it are not always apparent.
Okay, so would you just say you felt like there was no cure?
There's really no cure for brain injury. I mean, look, if you have a severe brain injury, let's say, like, again, I keep saying a gunshot wound or something, because it's a big cause of brain injury that's severe, or you have a terrible car accident and, you know, something literally got lodged in your skull, you can have surgery, but that doesn't repair brain injury. You still have brain injury. You still have trauma from brain injury. There is no way for someone to predict how quickly your brain is going to recover. I mean, you can have, you know, a guesstimate, but everyone's brain would recover at whatever rate. And it's, again, that's what makes it so difficult to treat and diagnose, because we don't know how quickly the swelling will go down. We don't know how quickly the blood will start to sort of repair some of the damage, if the damage will go back. It's basically how people recover after a stroke. They have brain trauma after a stroke. And so if you've ever known anyone from recovering from a stroke, some people tend to get their language back fairly quickly. Some people need, you know, months and maybe a year or two of speech therapy before they start to regain some of their language. There's really no way to tell how your brain is going to bounce back.
That I can understand. I'm someone who believes that we can definitely reverse the trauma, and you know, by many different ways, with nutritional as well as physical, and doing even working with the psychology of the body, because I do believe that we can make shifts and changes. What I do want to ask you is if you can give me some lists of some of these symptoms that we might not know that is actually an indication of brain trauma. What are some of these symptoms that to you because you're an expert on it, you might say, oh, that's actually a symptom of it. But to us, it may not be. You mentioned about the emotional aspect, his personality change. What other symptoms should we look out for?
Well, of course, you know, the people who know you best are going to be the best people to sort of rely on for this. But even yourself, if you start to notice that, I mean, some of the things in your case, for instance, were, you know, you could see right away, they were obvious and apparent and easy to assess. I have tingling in my body. I'm having trouble walking. But if someone says, wait, what did you say again? Your speech is coming out slurred, or you're speaking, but you seem to be speaking in circles. So sometimes I'll have people who present with patients who present with acute speech changes. And my first question is, was there an accident? Do you know if they fell? You know, memory changes. They suddenly can't remember basic things. Functioning changes. Personality changes. So it doesn't have to be, you know, something that is really obvious and apparent. It can be the more, you know, the more subdued or the sort of the slighter things that you are not necessarily looking out for. You start to notice, you know, sort of a change in personality, someone who's become suddenly very aggressive or hostile, and that's not their personality. Someone who's having trouble just sort of executing day-to-day tasks when, you know, they were able to do it. They just can't plan. Someone suddenly displays an odd gait. You know, they start walking funny. They're driving on the wrong side of the road. You know, in bilingual people, some bilingual people will start to go back to their first language or a language that they learned, you know, as children. Amnesia is a very big one. People will start living in a different time or start recalling things from a different era. So these are some of the lesser known impacts of brain injury. And then, of course, the more obvious ones are more physical, you know, headaches, nausea, vomiting, blurry vision, suddenly not being able to taste or smell something. I mean, those are the things that you want to make sure that you get medical attention for immediately. You know, I find that
people also get, across the board, it's fatigue. And they say, I've got brain fog now. I can't think clearly. Mm-hmm. And I'm not able to remember. So it's really like those mild fatigue. It's like they want to sleep more. But even if they sleep, they don't wake up refreshed.
Right.
That's another sign.
And what's frustrating about what you're saying right now is that when these people go to neurologists or they have the more common tests, such as the MRI or the CAT scans, they will come back normal because there's nothing on those to show that there's any kind of trauma. And so it's even more frustrating because that person knows that something's different and that it doesn't mean that they don't have brain injury. It's milder because it's not as overt or obvious or in your face, but the effects of it on the family or the person and their loved ones can actually be quite impactful.
Right, exactly. Well, you know what? So let's say that someone has a brain injury now and they want to talk to you. Do you do this online or do they come to your office to get assessed?
They come to my office. It's very hard. I don't do anything online. And even on the phone, you know, I can sort of assess very quickly. I've had people who've called me instead of calling 911 and said, I had a friend who once called me and said, my mother's speaking very poorly. Her speech is beginning to slur. What do you think is going on? I said, you need to get her to the emergency room. She sounds like she's having a stroke. And she was. So, you know, that's not the kind of thing you ever want to do online or on the phone because you need to see a person to truly assess them and they need to go seek medical attention immediately. They come to my office. You know, I do a very extensive intake, a very extensive initial to make sure that they don't need immediate medical attention. And if they don't, then I proceed to schedule a very comprehensive assessment to see if their attention, orientation, speech and language, cognitive functioning, motor functioning, sensory functioning is intact. And the degree of that will sort of tell you what's going on. And that will then sort of set the trajectory for their treatment planning.
So then, what is your website called?
Comprehendthemind.com.
comprehendthemind.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
Got it. Got it. So then they come in, you do, and do you do any type of psychotherapy?
So I don't particularly do psychotherapy. I mean, my training is in cognitive behavioral therapy. I still train my staff, and I have psychologists who do cognitive behavioral therapy, and I do a few sessions built into my assessment, but the rehabilitation of anything that needs, help with, whether it's traumatic brain injury, whether it's people who are struggling with memory loss or attention problems or learning problems, I do a lot of that. What I do is sort of give them techniques and coping strategies as to how to, work with the existing deficits that they have and how to improve upon them. Just the idea is to, for instance, someone who comes in with, let's say something of a concussion, you can't put a brace on your brain. If you damage your sprain your wrist or your ankle, you can rest it. You can't necessarily rest your brain the same way. So I'll say, maybe you need to just give it a rest. Maybe not be on the computer as much. Maybe don't watch so much TV for the next couple of days. Resting the brain actually helps rejuvenate it. In some cases, if someone's struggling with speech or visual memory, I'll suggest exercises, their brain train exercises even on computers, or doing something as simple as a crossword or a Sudoku. It strengthens the brain. It's almost like sending your brain to the gym. Challenging the brain to do different things, it sort of strengthens it. Learning a new language. So it depends on what it is that we're dealing with. If I notice that, the speech has taken a hit because of a stroke, then speech therapy isn't just for children. Older people can get speech therapy as well. So every part of the brain, as you stimulate it, will begin to grow, and only then will you see what its potential is and how much better can it get. There's no way for anyone to predict, no matter how good they are at the initial assessment, there's no way for them to predict your prognosis up front.
So, all that information is excellent to think about, only because if you have a child who had, let's say you dropped your child, he was 1 year old, he was on your bed and just rolled off and hits the head on the saw, it's like carpeted, but hits, and the baby cries and you look at the baby, everything is doing fine. Do you believe that having those types of head traumas, even as an infant, can have an ill effect for their future?
Again, it's so hard to say, and that's one of the most difficult things to really, especially as a parent, it's so difficult. I mean, I have actually 18-month-old twin toddlers at home, so trust me, it's the thing you worry about all the time, because there's no way to really know. They may not have a bump, they may not start to show something right away, but there's no way to really predict if they're going to have, some kind of a learning problem down the road. We don't know if, some kind of trauma is going to stick. Listen, the reality is the way, the anatomy is designed is really to protect you. We were made to swing from trees, right? I mean, that's the way the brain is not so gentle. It's sort of encompassed in this nice little, skull that's supposed to protect you from having it banged around. So usually a fall or two will not do such great damage to you. But so, with the traumatic brain injury, because like I said, there's no cure, the biggest thing is prevention. You can only prevent, you can only sort of foresee what children might do and make a safe environment. Don't have sharp corners, foresee that your kid's going to try to climb off or jump off the back of a sofa, my kids, for instance, are climbing everything. I can't watch them, even though I try to have them watch 24/7. You cannot physically watch, especially twin boys 24/7. Teach them how to safely climb off of things. Teaching them is a way to really prevent that kind of injury. And again, like I said, there's really no way, but you do want to look out for any kind of regression. If your child was beginning to do something and they're suddenly not doing it following an injury, you want to pay attention to that. And, don't be afraid. What's the worst case scenario? You bring them to the doctor, they check them out and say it's okay, take them back home. Don't take that chance. It's better than thinking, 5 or 10 years later, what if that's what caused, this problem?
Dr. Daniel Amen, who's a medical doctor. He's well known in the brain field, brain health. And he uses the SPECT scan where he looks for the perfusion of blood flow into the brain. And he believes all these head traumas that we get even as child can have an ill effect because you can see it. He can predict, in fact, depending on the location of the perfusion issues, hypoperfusion, I should say, lack of blood flow secondary to the head trauma, that it can affect someone who's got learning disabilities, let's say, or attention deficit disorders, emotional outbursts, depression, anxiety, things like that. That's a fascinating field for it's so many. And just recently we had that movie called Concussion, right? That Will Smith had came out with, and it just gave us another outlook on how important it is to look at these chronic head injuries, let's say even in sports, but how it can affect the lives of the person emotionally and even cause death in it. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we say goodbye? It's our time now to go here.
I think we've covered quite a bit. I think this is fantastic, and I hope that the listeners will just be a little bit more mindful about for themselves and for their loved ones, that if they see changes, especially following an injury, just be a little more attentive, write them down, look them up, see if they persist, if the symptoms persist, and know when to seek medical attention. Again, better be safe than to be sorry, because you can look into a brain. You can, but, you can't in some ways. So seek the proper attention. And, if an MRI or a CAT scan is coming back normal and you still see some symptoms, seek a neuropsychologist, get an assessment, make sure that you're getting the therapy so you or your loved one start to function as quickly as back to normal as possible. The longer you take, the longer the recovery is going to be.
That's right. Well, great, great tips. Thanks so much, Dr. Hafeez. ComprehendTheMind.com. That's her website, ComprehendTheMind.com. Okay. Now, I'll put the link on the Wellness for Life radio show page on Radio MD. This is Dr. Suzanne Bennett sharing natural strategies for ultimate health and wellness right here on Radio MD. Until next time, stay well.